Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hold hands and close your eyes. It's 12:30, and you're listening to the Ghost Story Pass.
Welcome to the Ghost Story, guys. I'm Brennan Storr.
I'm Ian Gibbs.
And this is a show where we talk about spooks, specters, and all the other things watching us from the shadows beyond the campfire. Some conversations only make sense after the sun is set, and this is most definitely one. Thanks for tuning in. This is episode 30, and we're coming to you from that tiny mountain cabin you dream about but can never quite reach. How you doing, Ian?
I'm doing pretty good, Brennan. How are you doing?
I am good. It's a little weird to be in the studio this often. This is like, what, twice in a week?
I know. It means I have to see you more.
Oh, yeah, well, don't remind me. Yeah.
You're not planning on taking any more vacations, are you?
No. I feel like I'm kind of centered. Like, I need to take time to kind of evaluate life. And
so you're broke.
I am so... broke. Like, hoping you pay for dim sum broke.
And that's not even an expensive meal.
No.
Are
no,
you stealing sugar from Starbucks yet or anything like
give me time. Oh, man. Well, no. And I'm glad dim sum isn't expensive, at least. That's one of the benefits of going to the restaurant underneath a strip bar. Low price.
When you describe it like that, it sounds a little sketchy.
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, it sounds cooler, but also... Yeah. Yeah, it does sound kind of skeezy. I guess this is all kind of inside baseball to the listeners. So the dim sum restaurant that Ian and I usually have lunch at is in a hotel complex just off the highway.
Yeah.
There's a hotel, liquor store, a strip club, and dim sum. And the first time he took me there, we walked into a hotel lobby, opened a nondescript fire door, and then went down a flight of stairs in what looked like a dank basement. And I mean, I for sure thought he was going to either A, murder me, or B, force me to play Russian roulette in front of a bunch of Vietnamese guys.
Well,
I mean, it was just lunch, thankfully.
I actually have a funny story about it. When the place first opened, they hadn't yet set up their own kind of machines for money and stuff.
Right.
And I was working for a church organization at the time, and I would take people for lunch sometimes as part of my job. So I got called into the office because they wondered why I was using my church credit card at the strip club. So I had to explain that, no.
Because Jesus likes to party.
Yeah. So no, I had to explain that, no, it's actually the dim sum restaurant in the basement.
Man, I got to try that.
Yeah.
No, baby, it's a dim sum restaurant. Yeah, Cheryl keeps texting me because she's the waitress.
She's the waitress.
Well, you know, the last time we were there, I left my hat in the restaurant.
Oh, right.
So I called them, got them to hang on to it for me. I figured I'd go pick it up that night.
Yeah.
Well, I walk in, and bless them, no one's English was real good. It was a different crowd than we usually see at lunch.
Oh, right.
Trying to communicate hat to them became this incredible lesson in mime theater.
I had the same problem when I was in Myanmar, and I got really, really sick, and I got stuck in the hotel by myself, and I needed, like, pop, and I needed sugar and salt, and because I was dehydrating quickly,
of course,
and it involved a lot of miming. But I did get it. I did not die, so all was well.
I remember having to do that in Morocco.
Oh yeah.
We had what you get when you travel.
Yeah.
And we didn't realize at the time we actually needed antibiotics.
Oh, Cipro, yeah.
But they just gave us whatever is sort of the equivalent of
Imodium.
Like, yeah, like an antidiarrheal, which just made the problem worse.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
Oh man, where were we? I want to say we were in Rabat and trying to communicate to this pharmacist who spoke very limited. I mean, his French was great.
Yeah.
Mine is not.
No.
So we're trying to communicate my broken French and didn't go real well. Then we ended up actually in a hospital in Luxor, Egypt.
No.
Yeah, my cousin.
And that's when you got the Cipro.
Well, they had to give him intravenously.
Oh.
Yeah, but what was funny is this guy comes in, looks at his chart and says to him something, something, you know, he was in Arabic and dysentery.
Right.
And he looks at me after this guy, we assume is a doctor, leaves. And he looks at me and goes, I think he said I have dysentery.
Oh, no.
I said, well, that's what I heard.
Yeah.
And then another guy in a coat comes in, looks at the thing and starts talking to him. And he said, well, this other guy says I have dysentery. And the doctor goes, what other guy? Well, the other doctor. No, I'm the only doctor.
Oh, my God.
So just some janitor wanders in. Yeah, you're going to die.
And then he got like antibiotics intravenously, and he was there for a week, and the whole bill was like $11 in a camel, right?
Well, we were there for a day, and I paid 88 Egyptian pounds, which I think was, I want to say about $18.
God bless the rest of the world.
Man. Now, when I went to Portland and got sick and ended up in the hospital, I was in the hospital for eight hours.
Right.
I got a tablet for nausea, two bags of saline.
Yeah.
The bill... before they started negotiating with my insurer, the bill was $2,600.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
Wow.
That was more than I made in a month at the time.
Dear Lord.
And then because I have two different kinds of insurance because I'm that guy.
Yeah.
And they managed to negotiate it down to $1,800.
That's insane.
But if that had just been me on the hook.
I know.
I would have paid the full $2,600.
You can't get sick in the U.S. You'll die.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you have our sympathy, guys.
Yeah, you really do.
All right, so on this episode, speaking of the U.S. and terrifying things down there,
yes.
We are going to be looking at the strange cases of stairs in the woods. And this was something that had been requested. A couple people, including Hannah, had requested this.
Yes.
And so we had a look at that. And we also are going to look at other cases of weird happenings in the American woods.
Perfect.
So we'll get into that right after the break.
Like we said before the break, the topic of this episode has been heavily requested by listeners, and that is the strange stories of staircases in the woods.
Now, I got to admit, before we started getting emails about this, I had never heard of it.
No, me neither. Not at all. Not even a little.
No, I mean, I don't spend any time on Reddit, so that could be why.
Yeah, me neither. It blew up outside of Reddit, too, though, but I guess that would be the first place to hear about it and the only place you'd get the whole story.
Yeah, exactly. And for those of you who don't know what we're talking about 2 years ago, a Reddit user claiming to be a search and rescue worker began posting stories about their unusual experiences in the woods.
And they are creepy. The first post described search efforts that either went nowhere with dogs tracking a scent until it ended at a sheer rock wall or a child impaled on a dead tree in a freak accident.
Jesus.
And then there was the blank face man.
Yeah, I like that one.
Do you want to read it?
Yeah, sure.
All right, go for it.
All right. So the poster, whose username was S.A.R. Woods, is a pretty great writer. I think that's one of the reasons these things got the legs they did.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to read a slightly condensed version of his story about the blank face man.
All right.
I was teamed up with another S.A.R. officer because we'd received reports of bears in the area. We were looking for a guy who hadn't come home from a climbing trip when he was supposed to, and we ended up having to do some serious climbing to get where we figured he'd be. We found him trapped in a small crevasse with a broken leg. It was not pleasant. He'd been there almost 2 days, and his leg was very obviously infected.
Mm.
We were able to get him into a chopper, and I heard from one of the EMTs that the guy was absolutely inconsolable. He kept talking about how he'd been doing fine, and when he'd gotten to the top, a man had been there. He walked up to the guy, and when the guy turned around, he said he had no face. It was just blank. He freaked out and ended up trying to get off the mountain too fast, which is why he'd fallen. He said he could hear the guy all night, climbing down the mountain and letting out these horrible muffled screams.
Oh my God. That would be absolutely terrifying.
Right? Yeah, no kidding. And you still go camping, whatever passes for camping in your world.
Well, it has a locked door. So, I mean, you know.
I don't know. If it's just me and a locked door between faceless, muffled scream man, I'm not placated by this.
Maybe I need to buy a gun.
There you go.
That's the
problem
answer.
Solved. As we're going to cover later, even guys who are out there with guns don't feel safe.
Okay, well, so, maybe that's not such a good
idea. Yeah, you're safer, but...
A zapper thing, a stun gun.
There you go.
Those aren't illegal at all.
I don't know that they are.
They are.
Are they?
For regular people to carry, yeah.
In the States?
No.
Oh, okay.
Nothing's illegal.
I was going to say, yeah. Yeah, I know you can't have them here. I know you can't even have, like...
You can't even have pepper spray.
Oh, really?
Nope.
Oh, interesting.
No, you can carry it as bear deterrent.
Right.
But you better have a good reason for carrying it around the city.
Interesting.
So there you go. Yeah.
Because I remember years ago, I went to this martial arts, I was security at this martial arts event.
Right.
And this guy was just selling stuff like nunchucks and and asps and stuff.
Really?
I thought, I don't think those are legal.
Not for regular people.
Yeah.
No. But what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
So as unnerving as that is, the next part is even worse.
Yeah. So this is more of the story. One of the scariest things I've ever had happen to me involved the search for a young woman who'd gotten separated from her hiking group. We were out until late at night because the dogs had picked up her scent. When we found her, she was curled up under a large, rotted log. She was missing her shoes and pack, and she was clearly in shock. She didn't have any injuries, and we were able to get her to walk with us back to base ops. Along the way, she kept looking behind us and asking why that big man with black eyes was following us.
Mm.
We couldn't see anyone, so we just wrote it off as some weird symptom of shock. But the closer we got to base, the more agitated this woman got. She kept asking me to tell him to stop making faces at her. At one point, she stopped and turned around and started yelling into the forest, saying she wanted him to leave her alone. She wasn't going to go with him, she said. She wouldn't give us to him. We finally got her to keep moving, but we started hearing those weird noises coming from all around us.
Oh, no.
It was almost like coughing, but more rhythmic and deeper. It was almost insect-like. I don't really know how else to describe it. When we were within sight of base ops, the woman turns to me and her eyes are about as wide as I can imagine a human can open them. She touches my shoulder and says, "He says to tell you to speed up. He doesn't like looking at the scar on your neck." I have a very small scar on the base of my neck, but it's mostly hidden under my collar, and I have no idea how this woman saw it. Right after she says it, I hear that weird coughing right in my ear and just about jumped out of my skin. I hustled her to ops, trying not to show how freaked out I was, but I have to say, I was really happy when we left the area that night.
Holy cats. Now, despite how creepy all of that is, it was the final part of the post that caught everyone's attention and imagination.
Now, I don't know if this is true in every SAR unit, but in mine, it's sort of an unspoken, regular thing we run into. You can try asking about it with other SAR officers, but even if they know what you're talking about, they probably won't say anything. We've been told not to talk about it by our superiors, and at this point, we've all gotten so used to it that it doesn't even seem weird anymore. On just about every case, we're really far into the wilderness. I'm talking 30 or 40 miles. At some point, we'll find a staircase in the middle of the woods. It's almost like if you took the stairs in your house, cut them out, and put them in the forest. I asked about it the first time I saw some, and the other officer just told me not to worry about it, that it was normal. Everyone I asked said the same thing. I wanted to go check them out, but I was told very emphatically that I should never go near any of them. I just sort of ignore them now when I run into them because it happens so frequently. And again, I can see why that grabbed people, because yeah. You've got this mundane thing in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't fit.
No. No. But, like, that's it. Like, where do they go?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And SAR Woods addressed questions about the stairs in his next post. And he describes a supervisor taking him out to a spot in the deep woods where missing people are often found. And this is him describing what he saw. Now, this area we're in is about 8 miles from the main parking area, though there's back roads you can take to get closer if you don't want to hike that far. But we're on state-protected land, which means there can't be any kind of commercial or residential development out here. The most you'll ever see is a fire tower or makeshift shelter that homeless people think they can get away with building. But I can see from here that whatever this thing is has straight edges. And if there's one thing you learn quickly, it's that nature rarely makes straight lines.
Mm-hmm.
I point it out, but she doesn't say anything. She just hangs back and lets me wander over and check it out. I get within about 20 feet of it, and all the hair on the back of my neck stands up. It's a staircase in the middle of the fucking woods. In the proper context, it would literally be the most benign thing ever. It's just a normal staircase with beige carpet and about 10 steps tall. But instead of being in a house where it obviously should be, it's out here in the middle of the woods.
Hmm.
The sides aren't carpeted, obviously, and I can see the wood it's made of. It's almost like a video game glitch, where the house has failed to load completely and the stairs are the only thing visible. I stand there, and it's like my brain is working overtime to try and make sense of what I'm seeing. My trainer comes and stands next to me, and she just stands there casually, looking at it as if it's the least interesting thing in the world. I ask her what the fuck this thing is doing here, and she just chuckles. "Get used to it, rookie. You're going to see a lot of them." I start to move closer, but she grabs my arm hard. "I wouldn't do that," she says. Her voice is casual, but her grip is tight, and I just stand there looking at her. "You're going to see them all the time, but don't go near them. Don't touch them. Don't go up them. Just ignore them." I start to ask her about it, but something in the way she's looking at me tells that it's best if I don't. We end up moving on, and the subject doesn't come up again for the rest of my training. She was right, though. I'd say about every fifth call I go on, I end up running across a set of stairs. Sometimes they're relatively close to the path, maybe within 2 or 3 miles. Sometimes they're 20, 30 miles out, literally in the middle of nowhere, and I only find them during the broadest searches or training weekends. All kinds, all different sizes. The biggest I ever saw looked like they came out of a turn-of-the-century mansion and were at least 10 feet wide, with steps leading up at least 15 or 20 feet. I've tried talking about it with people, but they just give me the same response my trainer did. It's normal. Don't worry about it. They're not a big deal. But don't go close to them or up them. And the stories continue. Yeah. We're not going to read everything because these posts are quite long.
Yeah.
But, it, I mean, of course, it just, it touches off so many things in your head.
Right.
And the other stories that S.A.R. Woods posted talked about, you know, kids going missing looking for berries.
Right.
Kids going missing and coming back talking about the fuzzy-faced man or the fuzzy man or the
right.
bear man.
Right.
And all these things are very, very similar to missing 411. And, of course, he obviously has a very good knowledge of that phenomenon.
Yeah.
Because it sounds so much like it, everyone else cottoned on to that. And apparently what happened is they started contacting David Pilates.
Oh, no.
Yes. and the National Park Service.
Right.
And saying, well, what is, like, we demand answers, this kind of thing. Yeah, or people contacting that poor bugger Pilates.
It's a conspiracy theory.
Exactly. Yeah. And finally, and now bear in mind, this was all posted in Reddit's r/nosleep.
Right.
Which, is, as far as, now I don't spend a lot of time on Reddit, but as far as I know, that's fiction. That's a fiction forum.
Right.
But S.A.R. Woods presented these, you know, as, well, as a story, but as
right.
as fact.
Right, right.
But, you know, you would think posting it where he did, people would cotton on to the fact that this is fiction.
But people don't want to believe.
No, I know, because it's a good story.
Yeah.
But, unfortunately, as good a story it is, and I know that some people are not going to like hearing this, it is fiction.
Right.
They are not real. These staircases are not real. None of the stories S.A.R. Woods told were real. And we know that because on his Tumblr, in December of the year he posted these stories, he actually posted this notice.
It says, urgent announcement. Followers and dedicated readers, it has come to my attention that my stories and the contents within have directly caused extreme inconvenience to David Pilates, a very dedicated man who is working to solve missing person cases throughout the national parks. As such, I'm going to be adding this disclaimer, which applies to all parts of my series. Author's note, the following series is fiction and should be treated as such. I ask that going forward you do not contact David Pilates or any other officials about the contents of my work. They are not affiliated with me in any way and will not be able to advise you on anything I have described. That being said, I want to thank all of you for believing in my work and for sticking with me this far. If you have any questions or concerns, please feel free to send me a message. Without all of you, this series would not have been possible. But the funny part about this is people will then go, he was forced to do it.
Oh, of course, yeah. As you read that, that was going on in my head. Yeah. Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
They're great stories. It truly, I mean, again, you haven't read all of them yet, but
no.
But it's great writing. And there is one story he tells, because a lot of it is mundane stuff.
Right.
You know, it's not all staircases.
But right.
There's just enough to make you think, oh, well, maybe.
But isn't that a good story where you have it enough that people can identify with it, that they can imagine themselves in the woods and stumbling across something?
Yeah, and like I said, enough of it bears similarities to Missing 411. I mean, right. I unfortunately have lent most of my Missing 411 books out because there are several cases that are directly analogous. Like a little girl who went missing and said that a bear found her, kept her warm, and brought her berries.
Right.
Well, as far as we know, this is not bear behavior.
No.
In the morning, she kept her safe, and then in the morning it left. And there was another case of a kid who said, and I think we may have talked about this on the show before, but there was a kid who said, well, you know, this couple in the woods took me into their house, and they fed me and let me sleep there, and in the morning they said I had to go. There's no house in the woods.
So do you think this is tied to, like, Sasquatch stuff?
Who knows? I mean, I'm not, you know, we've kind of gone back and forth on Sasquatch on the show.
Yes.
But to finish up with these stories, reading some of the, because obviously each of these stories, when you post them on Reddit, there's a space for comments.
Right.
And people were very complimentary, but people were also trying to figure out how it worked.
Right.
And it was kind of fascinating watching people try to rationalize these stories. And I mean, it really made me cringe because you see how far people are willing to go to believe something.
Right.
And it made me really take a hard look at the way I relate to some of the things we talk about.
Yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes we have to make leaps.
Yeah.
And you got to really ask yourself, is this too far?
For me, I mean, dealing with all this stuff and hearing people's stories, I would really only judge them on that person's sincerity, because it's not going to be the same thing I'm going to experience in their situation.
Right.
So all I can tell you is my own experience. This is what I have experienced. And you can't tell me I'm wrong because it's what I've experienced. If you were in the same room with me when I experienced that, would you experience the same thing? Probably not. You might experience something different, or you might experience nothing at all. That's okay.
Right.
And I think a long time ago, I made peace with realizing I don't have to prove anything.
Oh, absolutely.
And I don't have to fight with anybody about whether or not their story's true. If you experience that, that's what you've experienced.
Right. And I think, but I think it's important to take, when someone tells you a story.
Yes.
You can't just take it at face value.
No.
But, you know, because I think between the two of us now, we have amassed enough information to know what sounds right and what doesn't.
Yes.
You know, I think I've mentioned before, someone approached me when I was working on my book to say that A Strange Little Place, available everywhere fine books are sold.
Oh my God.
It's a good book. You should buy it. Whatever. Somehow it hasn't gotten a second printing yet. But,
oh, that's weird.
Yeah, I figure it's a conspiracy. Yeah. There's a conspiracy.
Right there's about, a conspiracy.
Right about that shit, S.A.
Brent's truth is being suppressed.
That's right. Me and Alex Jones.
Yeah.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Anyways,
when I was working on my book, A Strange Little Place, available for fine books and sold.
Relentless.
Someone got a hold of me with a story, and it was so fantastical.
Right.
It sounded like a horror movie.
Yeah.
You know, a spirit had busted a coffee pot across her boyfriend's head. And I've just never seen any precedent for this.
No.
And I'm not to say it doesn't exist.
Right.
But I couldn't, this was an email. So I couldn't speak to them in person.
Right.
And it just didn't feel right.
No.
You know, so you have to exclude those.
Yeah, for
sure. So I think you kind of got to, weigh it.
I agree. Yeah, no, for sure. But I mean, this person is being super clear that these are not real stories.
Yeah.
But people being people want to believe them.
Absolutely. And I think it's a case of that, what's that old story? The lie gets halfway around the world before truth even has its shoes laced up.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And I think that's very true because, I mean, we talked last week about the Dybbuk box.
Yeah.
And how, you know, there has been a whole goddamn book published on how that is nonsense. And yet that
people don't want to let it
Putz
go.
Still has it in his museum. Sweet museum, but that is nonsense.
Yeah. But people want to believe it.
Yeah, that's it. I guess I want to believe.
I want to believe.
It's a powerful thing.
It really is.
All right, so we're going to take a quick break for a word from our sponsor. When we come back, we're going to have some actual scary stories from the woods.
Woo-hoo.
One last thing. We are pleased to announce that our musical guest from episode 27, The Abyss, is readying his first two EPs for release. Those albums, Glass Ocean and Void, are available for pre-order now on iTunes and will be released on April 20th. For more information on The Abyss, go to Instagram.com/Radio Abyss. Congratulations, ma'am. Welcome back. So before the break, we were talking about the strange case of the staircase in the woods.
Yep.
Which, as we learned, is a great story, and that's all.
Yeah.
But, you know, as disappointing as that might be, there is so much weird shit out there in the woods.
Oh, there really is.
That we don't need to make things up. And our researcher, Luke, found a ton of stuff that runs the range from lights in the sky to lights on the ground and beyond. And so I thought we'd start off with a story that someone submitted, and I'm going to let you take that one.
All right. This happened a long time ago when I was a third grader. It was the first year Dad let me walk with him into the Elk Woods. My last morning in camp was real cold, snowing lightly with just a few inches on the ground. Dad, me, and a buddy of his parked where we were going to hunt that morning. Walking in, we heard a bugle coming from the park we'd intended on going to first, so we moved in. Got to where we could see and saw a herd of elk. There were maybe 20 in all. We ducked under the trees and made a move to get closer without them knowing. We kept moving, keeping them in sight when we could. Then we came out of the trees one last time, and nothing. The park was bare. We never heard anything leave, but there were no elk. So we figured on following their tracks into the woods and trying to get them in there. The only problem with that plan was that there was no track. We walked all over the park and you would think there had been nothing there and nothing leaving. All three of us heard the bugle and saw the whole herd. Yes, it was snowing, but not hard at all. And a herd of elk make a lot of tracks when they're kicking around looking for grass. So you'd see something. And further in the trees, there was very little snow. But even there, no tracks. I was pretty young back then, and Dad still doesn't talk about that day very often. Says it still gives him the willies.
And it would. I mean, because you think about it, that's you're just out to. I mean, I'm not a hunter. I don't like the woods and I'm lazy.
Yeah.
but you think this is a normal thing? You've done it a bunch of times, yeah. You know. And the fact that it bothered his dad.
Well, and the three of them saw it.
That's it.
Like,
yeah.
It's not just the guy. Everybody saw it.
And at that point, you wonder what the hell is it? Because it's if anyone says to me, well, that's a bunch of ghost elk, I'm going to kill them. I will put them in the ground.
Well, one thing that the researchers have discovered recently is that trees are linked. That trees have a way of sort of communicating. They did this in the rainforest in the Amazon. Yeah, I saw it on a documentary, not on a Reddit site. and they said that there is sort of a network of energy that's passed around amongst the trees, that they're able to communicate with each other.
Right.
So, I mean...
It's like tree TV?
Well, yeah. No, but it's a bit like, oh, what's that stupid movie? Avatar.
Right.
When the holy tree
that was a good movie.
Okay. It was Ferngully with boobs.
I fail to see a problem.
And so maybe that's part of it, that there is already this kind of weird connected energy. So it's a place where weird things can happen.
Well, maybe. I mean, I kind of wonder if the space allows, because you know how we were talking about last episode about how Vegas, especially on the Strip, it's so busy. It feels like nothing can happen.
Right.
Because there's no room for it.
Right.
You know, the energy's constantly shifting.
Yeah.
I wondered if in a wide open space like that, it just and without the interference, especially the electrical interference,
yes,
you have a little more room.
Yeah,
but again,
makes sense.
It still makes you wonder, what is the thing?
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing to say, well, you know, you're just picking up another station, but what is that station?
Yeah.
Some of these stories we found in an actual, you'll notice there's a preponderance of stories from hunters, and that's because a lot of these came from a forum of hunters. It was actually kind of fascinating because obviously you're alone in the woods, and these guys, they're armed.
Yeah.
You know, in some cases, heavily armed.
Yeah.
And they're experienced. They know how to use the gun. They've spent a lot of time in the woods. But their first thought is still, oh, crap. There was a story of one guy who was out at night, and he sat under this tree, and all of a sudden he hears splash, and he thinks someone's throwing rocks at me. Pulls his gun. One of them falls right in front of him. He looks. He's under, I think, a walnut tree.
I was going to say, pine cone or nuts.
Yeah, and they were nuts, just falling in the water.
So funny.
Yeah. But then you've got stories like this next one. They don't have that rational explanation.
Yeah.
It was very early in the morning, around 2 to 3 a.m., and I was in a very open area waiting for my boss to return with some equipment. As I was waiting, I got the feeling like I was being watched by something that didn't want me there and had some intent on harming me. I stood up and looked around. The moon was very bright that night, and I could clearly see all the way to the tree line, maybe 50 yards on both sides. Nothing around. I calmed down a bit and took my pack off my back to get my drink out. As I opened my drink, I hear this whoosh, whoosh, whoosh sound flying through the air from behind me. It was like the sound that a stick makes if you throw it overhand. I literally dove out of the way with my bag falling to the ground and my drink flying through the air, spilling as I jumped away. I recover from my dive and take my radio out of the bag to radio my boss. I said, I'm not trying to freak you out or anything, but I'm on my way back to the shop. I just had something thrown at me. As I'm talking to him, I'm looking around on the snowy ground for anything that could have been hurled. There was nothing on the ground but snow.
Hmm.
I had no idea what the hell was going on at this point, and his reply was, I've already got a head start on you. I'll see you there. And he sounded out of breath like he was running.
Hmm.
I gather my stuff and start hauling ass back to the shop. I get back, meet up with him. He's pacing back and forth in our shop, freaking out. I get him to calm down, and he tells me he was on his way back up to me when he got the same feeling I got before something got thrown at me. He said after he got the feeling, he stopped to look around and heard something clearly two-legged start walking towards him, barely making a sound in the snow. Then he said it started running at him, but there was nothing in sight. All of the sounds of movement stopped, and he froze to listen for more. And then he said a hot breath was hitting the back of his neck, and he freaked right out.
Not cool.
No, he said he ran the whole way back to the shop, and then about halfway is when he heard me on the radio. Now, that story, it wasn't... Most of these stories, they don't give locations, because these people want to remain anonymous. But to a certain degree, that reminds me of something that happened while I was driving home to Revelstoke once. I was on the far side of Kamloops, because I usually leave here after work, and it takes a while to get there.
Right.
And that area is, I think it's adjacent to tribal land, and
right.
It's a very, very powerful area. At night, it's very black, and it's not unlit black, it's very occupied black.
Yeah, yeah.
I was driving, and then all of a sudden, I felt a presence in the car, and I looked in the rearview mirror, and the shadows in the back seat were very thick.
Hmm.
I couldn't see the seats anymore.
Wow.
And it felt like whatever it was wanted me to turn around.
Right.
But I didn't, because at that speed on those roads, turning around could have been fatal.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was so insistent that I should turn around.
Right.
And then I felt cold air on my neck. Yeah. I tell you, man, it eventually faded. I reached other traffic and in the next town, and it faded, but it was crazy.
So do you think it wanted you to get out of there, or it wanted you to come back to it? Or
I think it wanted me to crash.
Oh.
I think that's what it was about. I won't say malevolent. I think it was mischievous. Or mischievous.
Or I wonder if it was someone else who had died on that road.
No, it didn't feel like a person.
No.
It didn't feel like spirit. It just felt like presence. And it felt really old and kind of, and again, I could just be talking on my ass, but
right.
It just felt like it wanted me to turn around with the express purpose that I would then get hurt.
Right.
And again, but it didn't feel malevolent. It just felt like, almost like a trickster.
Yikes.
Yeah. Or I hesitate to say predator because that seems kind of malevolent.
More like an elemental, like something very, yeah, very old.
And, yeah, exactly. Yeah. That just kind of culls.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the word, culls.
Yeah.
It just culls people.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what that felt like.
Wow.
Yeah. There are other stories we have about people being stalked in the woods. You know, I mean, quite apart from feeling like something's rushing towards them, there's the more subtle stories about people being followed. And we actually have a listener story about that. So this is a story that came from Lindsay, and I've been hanging on to this for a while.
Perfect.
So I'm going to read it here.
Yeah.
So she says, after listening to your fairies episode, it occurred to me my experience may have indeed involved the fae folk. Of course, and we covered fairies in episode 26.
Right.
No, 26 or 27.
One of the 20s.
Yeah, one of them. Yeah. Anyways, you should listen. It's a good episode. It was a lot of work. So it may have involved the fae folk, not ghosts, I'd previously supposed. This happened when I was about 15 or 16 years old. At the time, my family had just moved into a new neighborhood, those really Stepford types where it's the same three house plans in varying shades of gray and beige. Barf. I'm with you there, Lindsay. Anyway, there were tracts of preserved land flanking the development and some wooded areas with trails running through them. One day, I went out for a run and decided to take myself down some of the trails, which were down the road about a tenth of a mile from my neighborhood. All is well, and I'm silently hating myself because I live in Florida. It's warm and muggy most of the year. Honestly, I'm not the best runner when I hear what sounds like running behind me. It's someone running faster than me. I can tell by their footfall. So I move to one side to let them pass. I turn and glance over my shoulder to acknowledge the other runner, and there's no one there. Confused and a little creeped out, I run on, periodically checking over my shoulder. I never see anyone else. After a little ways, I can see where the trail I'm on meets another. Woods in Florida tend to be pretty scrubby, and through brush on the adjoining trail, I can see what looks like movement of someone else coming to the same fork. As I reach the intersection of these trails, I again stop to let what I think is another person take the lead. And again, there's no one. I know I wasn't seeing an animal. The movement was something white, not wide enough to be a deer, and made no sound. At this point, I decided, no thank you, and returned home running on the sidewalk by the road.
Good plan.
Yes. It wasn't long after that the wooded area was clear-cut to make room for a few heinous McMansions, and any fae folk in the area may have been on their way out, the poor things. And she has one more story. And she says this may be the strangest because she doesn't have a clue as to what it could have been.
Right.
This happened when she was 19 and living on campus. Her college owns what's called Slough Mill Preserve, basically a tract of Florida scrub forest with a few small bodies of water. There's all manner of wildlife living in it, snakes, tortoises, turtles, loads of birds, raccoons, armadillos, and a few alligators. There are also a few trails weaving through it that are all open to the public, some close to 4 miles long. One night, I get the brilliant idea to go down a said trail with a guy I'm dating at the time, without flashlights.
Oh.
At probably 10 o'clock at night. College kids, right? It'll be spooky and fun, right? No, the answer is no. Let me tell you right now, Lindsay.
Oh, no.
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 That's a bad idea. In Florida, of all places.
Yeah, with alligators?
Yeah, no.
Screw that.
No, no.
Yeah.
Oh, honey, no. So off we go down the trail, talking a little, but mostly listening to the woods. I remember the temperature is mild with a light breeze, very pleasant for Florida. We can hear the usual night creatures calling and whatnot, and a few little scuffles here and there. Nothing unusual. Until there is something unusual. Something noisy. It's something walking on an indeterminate number of legs through the brush off the trail immediately to our right. We stop. It stops. We move forward a few steps. It moves forward at the same time, parallel to the trail.
Not good.
No. Whatever was there, I'd estimate it was within 4 to 5 feet of where we were standing. At this point, I feel confident it's not an animal. First, it seems much too noisy. Even an animal like an armadillo, who tends to be a little oblivious to its environment due to near blindness, doesn't make a noise like this. In the unlikely event a panther had found us, it would have either given a distinct warning cry, or been so quiet we wouldn't have known we were being stalked until it was too late. And why would a wild animal come closer to humans? Even those used to people will keep their distance unless they're accustomed to being fed by them, or defending offspring.
Mm-hmm.
It may be that my memory of this event is flawed. but I can't recall hearing any other sounds at this point, like the rest of the woods had gone quiet. We started to take steps back. Whatever was in the woods did the same. I became frozen with fear, glued to the spot, completely terrified. This is the only time I've ever experienced the sensation, being incapacitated by fear. My friend tried to urge me on, but I told him I couldn't move. I was too scared. So he scooped me up and carried me, bless him, back the way we came, half running, me whimpering in his ear, and goddammit if whatever it was in there did not keep pace with us the entire time.
Oh, no.
We finally exited into the lit parking lot, nothing behind us, the woods giving off their normal wood sounds. Needless to say, I never went back on those trails at night. It would require large sums of money, a weapon, and a flashlight to do so again. I'm going to tell you, Lindsay, I wouldn't even do it then.
No.
And, I mean, my first thought is an animal.
Yeah.
You know, that would be my first thought in a situation like that. Because I've actually been in a situation like that. So, Lindsay, that's an absolutely terrifying experience.
Absolutely.
And I think even if it is some kind of animal, it's not very reassuring.
No.
And it's far from the only story we have of being stalked in the woods.
Yeah.
This next one is actually from Washington State.
Yes.
Near Mount St. Helens. Take it away.
I have a good friend on the search and rescue crew up by Mount St. Helens. One night they get a call. Someone is lost by the ape caves, and the search crew split up searching drainages and canyons. Well, about 5 miles from the road, he hears something in the brush following him and identifies himself and calls out to see if it's the lost hiker. Silence. So he starts walking again. This is well after dark. And he hears a movement in the brush the whole time he's walking. And when he stops, it circles him out of flashlight range in the brush. By now, he had his .357 out and threw some rocks at the noise and it runs off. He's thinking it's a bear. A cougar would have been silent. Elk and deer would have stayed away. Anyway, he gets radioed. They found the hiker, so he heads to the road. 15 minutes later, something is back trailing him. But there are several this time. And they keep closing faster than he's hiking. He made it to the trucks without ever seeing what it was and asked the guys if they knew anything about it. They told him one of the old stories in the ape caves got their name because Indians described animals like apes in that area.
Oof. There's also those missing 411 stories, and we've talked about this before, those two little kids hid from searchers because they said, we thought the searchers were angry gorillas.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a very specific thing for a kid to say.
Very specific, in the middle of the woods. Yeah.
So it makes you wonder. And actually, it reminds me, too, of, I don't think you've read this one, but Ron Moorhead's Voices in the Wilderness.
Okay.
Which is his story about a hunting camp in the High Sierras, which he feels was in Bigfoot territory.
Right.
Because they would hear these crazy screams and cries.
Is that kind of near Mount Shasta?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of stories about Mount Shasta.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a ton of missing 411 stories from Mount Shasta.
Oh, okay.
I got to lend you those books. I got to get them back.
Yeah, I would really like to read them.
But yeah, there's a ton of these stories from Mount Shasta. But anyways, what was interesting and kind of reminds me of this is whenever, because Moorhead experienced this with people.
Right.
And again, seasoned hunters. But these noises were paralyzing.
Wow.
And basically he says as soon as they flicked the light on them, gone.
Wow.
It sounded like these huge things were right there. Yeah. Turn the light on, gone.
Nothing there.
Yeah.
Wow.
In addition to just the screaming, they would hear clicking.
Right.
And the and what was interesting is the clicking actually followed them off the mountain.
Mm.
So they would each go home, and some were farmers, and they would hear this in the fields as they were working.
Yikes.
Right?
Jeez.
Which actually reminds me that. Yeah, I completely forgot about this. On our one-year anniversary episode, remember I told the story about the strange feeling I had when I was walking near my house?
Yeah.
Well, something I forgot to mention is what actually was inspired by Luke. Luke sent me a message about chimes, because remember I had mentioned my friend had heard bells.
Yes.
Of course, Luke said some people who have these experiences also hear chimes, and they think this is some kind of indication of presence of the fae folk or something like this.
Right.
Well, what I've neglected to mention is when I got home that night, once I got far enough away from the area where I felt uncomfortable, I put my headphones back in.
Right.
And I was listening to a podcast. In that podcast, I kept hearing chimes.
Oh.
And I thought it was the people being interviewed. I thought they had wind chimes in the background, so I didn't think too much of it.
Right.
But then I realized it was happening in multiple interviews.
Oh, wow.
And then I noticed for a little bit, I would hear them without the headphones in.
Dun, dun, dun.
And for a couple days.
Not cool.
I would hear, sometimes when it was quiet, I could hear these little chimes.
Oh, my Lord.
In the distance.
Not cool.
No.
No.
And that was during that whole period when it seemed like everything was very thin.
Yeah.
Because remember that period about 2 weeks to a month where everything was right there.
Yeah.
And since then, I haven't been a problem.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. But I just forgotten about it completely.
Interesting.
I kept meaning to bring it up.
Yeah.
And on the subject of strange noises, there's a story from Southeast Kansas, which I think is quite interesting.
I was going turkey hunting in Southeast Kansas with one of my good buddies who's not much of a hunter and didn't have much experience in the woods. He was telling me that every morning at the same time, within 5 minutes of each other, he would hear a really strange noise that he couldn't explain. He said that it really freaked him out. Being that I have quite a bit of time in the woods, I figured that it was his lack of experience with quote-unquote wild noises, and that I was certain that I would have a logical explanation. Well, the next morning, we get in, get set up before dark, and we're about 30 yards apart in an area full of small saplings, on the edge of some thicker hedge woods lining a creek. We've been sitting there for about 15 or 20 minutes, and I hear something that I can only describe as what sounds like a 50-pound bag of concrete being dropped to the ground from 10 feet up a tree, about 100 feet to my left. My buddy turned and looked at me and then pointed to his watch, which was right on the money for when he said the noise would happen. He told me later that by the time he turned to look at me, I had already shifted my body to point my Super Black Eagle in the direction the noise came from and clicked the safety off. I have no idea what it was, and once it got fully light out, we searched all over the area, and there was nothing around we could find that would have made a noise like that. I will certainly never forget that.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it could have been anything, but just that's a lot of noise.
Yes. Yes.
On a lighter note, I do love, because of course you and I are coddled city men.
Yes.
And so when he, obviously Super Black Eagle is a firearm.
Yeah.
But just for a second, I just imagine this like really scary hawk, you know?
Because the men are out hunting turkeys with hawks.
Yeah. He takes the hood off. And
naturally. Yeah. Falconry.
Exactly.
Yes. In Southeast Kansas.
Yeah. Well, stranger things, you know?
True. No, very true.
When I was in Vegas, I did that. Nick got me for Christmas. She got me a shooting package at the gun store. And so we did that, or I did that. But it was just comical. This made me think it was comical how little I know about these things.
Right.
So, you know, you're given a list you can choose from. You get a pistol, a shotgun, and a machine.
Automatic weapon.
And I picked what I picked. And because, I play video games, so I recognize some of these things.
Right.
But, you know, there was just no point in pretending what an absolute hopeless schmuck I was. You know, I mean, thankfully they do everything for you, short of pulling the trigger for you.
Yeah.
But, I just thought, man, I'm out of my element. I know nothing about these.
That's good to know. Good to expand your horizons.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Enough. Did it make you want to come home and buy a gun?
No. It was kind of fun. But honestly, I was kind of freaked out.
Yeah.
You know, they're...
powerful.
Yeah, and I know it's kind of a duh thing, but...
No, it's surprising, and you realize the potential you have in your hands.
Yeah.
I didn't like that part.
No.
I mean, the shooting was fun, but it wasn't my thing.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, one of the things I got was a Remington pump-action shotgun.
Right.
And that was neat, but the guy, we were talking about the difference between buckshot and birdshot, because I know nothing about guns.
Yeah.
The dude was great. I mean, he's very, very patient. He wasn't... I expect him to be a bit of a man's man.
Yeah, condescending.
Exactly. Yeah. But no, he wasn't at all. So I asked him the difference between buckshot and birdshot. And he straight up said, oh, well, you know, buckshot will rip a man apart.
Right.
And I thought, wow, we're not even pretending. This is that...
No.
It was really kind of just... That part was disturbing.
Yeah.
And I mean, years ago, I went with my uncle to the range in Revelstoke. You know, not years ago, maybe 5 years ago. And there was a class at the time. They were shooting water jugs, 4-liter water jugs.
Yeah.
And I heard the instructor telling them this is, you know, roughly mimics the shape of a deer's lungs.
Oh, Lord.
And yeah, just the image of that. Yeah. I thought, wow. I mean, again, it's very practical, and I have no issue with people who want to go hunting, but as long as they do it safely.
Yeah.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
But, I thought, man, that's a stark image.
I think if I had to pick a gun, I'd want a laser gun.
A laser gun?
Yeah, I'd want something with a laser. I could see where it was going, and yeah, that would make me happy.
A laser gun.
A laser gun. I'm going to hold out for that.
Oh, no, that's fair. That's fair. Okay. So back to the woods.
Yeah.
Some friends and I were doing some night fishing on the James River. We were sitting along the shoreline with a nice fire going, accompanied by the usual idle talk and a few beers, when suddenly everyone just stopped talking like a switch was flipped. We were all staring across the river and felt as if something or someone was staring back. It was an uneasy feeling, which some of the group tried to shake off with the typical macho humor, when a blood-curdling sound erupted from the other shore that froze everyone in their tracks. This sound was unlike any other I had heard, and it made every hair on my body vibrate and tingle. The only way I can describe it is it sounded like a wild person with no language skills being gutted alive. No words, just this high-pitched, blood-curdling scream.
Sheesh.
Nobody moved. Nobody said a word. We all just sat there fixed in our stare, when just as suddenly a second scream came with even more force than the first. By this time, several of us were sprinting to our trucks that were parked 20 or 30 feet away and retrieving various firearms. We all sat there quietly with our eyes fixed, staring toward the opposite shore, watching the light from our fire reflected off the rocks. Hours later, we packed it up and left, feeling very unsettled. We never did figure that one out, or even hazard a guess as to what was on the opposite bank.
Oh, not okay.
No.
This is why I stay in the city.
Yeah. Oh, no. I mean, I know there are certain wild cats.
Yes.
Whose screams sound like women.
Yeah,
like
horrific.
Yeah. So, I mean, but mind you, these people obviously spend more time out there than I do, so I assume they know what that sounds like.
Yeah.
But, no, that's friggin' horrifying.
Yeah, no kidding.
Since we're on the subject of night fishing, there was one story I found that's not paranormal at all, but it kind of reminded me of something else, and just how easily things can go wrong in the woods.
Right.
So, this was a story submitted anonymously by a man who had been bow fishing on the Wichita River one night with his dad. And they were in the boat. I don't really know what bow fishing is, but I like to imagine they put little bows on the fish and...
That's exactly it.
Yeah, no, I'm sure. I'm very manly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they heard an ATV pull up alongside them on the bank, and it followed them.
Oh, no.
As they moved down the river. And they got spooked.
Yeah.
Because, again, you're alone in the woods, and you never know.
Bad things happen.
So they killed the running lights on the boat and then just booked it. And obviously the person, they didn't know the person couldn't follow them. So they got back to the boat ramp, loaded up, and took off. Well, later in the week, police busted a meth lab in the area.
Oh, wow. That could have been bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And reading that, it reminded me about the Jameson family. Are you familiar with their story?
No.
So on October 8th, 2009, Bobby and Sherilyn Jameson packed up their white pickup truck and along with their 6-year-old daughter, Madison, headed out to the Red Mountains some...
Yes.
Yeah, you know this
I
one.
I do know this one.
So I'll tell the listeners don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, yeah.
But they were going to the Red Mountains, which were about 175 miles away. They were thinking of moving back to the wilderness and looking for property to buy.
Stupid.
Yeah. Telling you. 8 days later, hunters found their truck, which had not only all their possessions in it, but their dog, who was starved and almost dead. But they didn't find the Jamesons.
Hmm.
The Latimer County Sheriffs were called. They tracked some footprints from the truck up to a rock where, according to pictures found on their cell phones in the truck, a photo of Madison was taken.
Right.
Those footprints then went back down to the truck, and no one knows what happened after that.
Hmm.
But in November 2013, 4 years later, their bodies were found 3 miles away from where the truck had been left.
Wow.
And their remains were too decomposed for proper autopsy, but I mean, it seems pretty unlikely they decided to up and walk 3 miles into the bush for no reason.
Yeah.
And to this day, their deaths, or their murders, let's face it, have never been solved. But before I get to the rumors, this actually ties into some, and this could be total bullshit,
but
something happened to me. I had a very strange dream one night that stuck with me for a really long time. And this is before I knew anything about this. I had this dream, I don't know, it might have been 2009.
Right.
But I had no interest in the paranormal. It was just a strange dream.
Right.
But in that dream, I'm a man, I'm on rural property on a hill getting towards sunset. My truck is at the bottom of the hill on the road, and I'm looking at a mountain. And it's because I'm buying property in this area, and I want to see what it looks like at sunset. I'm not on the property I should be on.
Mm-hmm.
My property's further down the road, but for whatever reason, I can't get at it right now.
Right.
So I figure, well, I'm just looking at this property, it'll be fine. Well, then a vehicle pulls up behind my truck, and sort of a guy gets out wearing a Carhartt jacket, kind of a brown Carhartt jacket. He looks vaguely Latino, maybe, or Mexican-American, and he starts walking up towards me, and I thought, okay, you know, I know I shouldn't be here, because in the dream, I know that there's a lot of meth labs around this area, and you got to be careful where you're poking around.
Mm-hmm.
So I just figured, this guy's coming, I'm just going to apologize. So I said to the guy, I said, I'm sorry, I know I shouldn't be here. I got some property down the road, and as I'm explaining this to him, he just pulls out a pistol and shoots me.
Wow.
Just shoots me twice in the belly. And I'm falling to the ground, and I can't even make sense of what's just happened.
Right.
And that's literally all I remember. Yeah. But it's very similar.
It is. And I mean, why were they moving back to the wilderness? What was going on, right?
Well,
like, is somebody after them? Or?
That's it. There's a video of them loading up their truck, and they appear to be moving. The video, I don't believe, is publicly available, just a still is.
Right.
But according to police, their movements seem almost zombie-like.
Right.
They make something like 20 trips back and forth to the truck, and they just seem to be moving in a very peculiar way.
Weird.
Yeah. Hmm. Rumors have popped up about their death, and the reason I wanted to mention tell my story first
right.
is because there is actually a slightly paranormal element to this. In a statement given to police by their pastor, the pastor told an officer the family had been engaged in what he called spiritual warfare.
Right.
And that both Bobby and Sherilyn had told him they'd seen spirits in their home.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and other family members claim Bobby's father has connections to what they call the Mexican mafia.
Not good. No, so, the cartels.
The cartels.
Yeah.
And that would explain the Latino guy in the Carhartt jacket I saw in my dream. And I forgot to mention, the place where they went missing, home to meth labs.
Like, why would you poke around out there then?
I guess you just don't think about it.
I would.
Well, so would I, but you and I were discussing before we started recording, we're both very paranoid.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, so those folks were, or I think those two guys were very smart to get the hell out of there when they did.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because there's a lot more scary things in the woods.
It's way easier for these people just to shoot than they have to worry about you.
I just realized the volume of stories we have.
It's a bit much.
It's a lot. We're way more than we can possibly fit in.
We could do part two.
We might have to do that.
It's not a bad idea.
And so we have a couple stories which are straight up ghost stories, and I think that's where we're going to leave it off. Go for it.
A couple of seasons back, I'm walking out at night. It was dead quiet with a nearly full moon. Very good visibility. Where I parked my truck was next to an old abandoned farmhouse with a bunch of dilapidated outbuildings. As I'm walking past the old homestead, I hear this voice. The voice of a small child, very high and clear. It said, "Did you see any deer?" I about came out of my boots and spun towards the noise, which sounded like it was 20 feet from me, and saw nothing. I stood there for a few seconds, straining with my eyes and ears for any movement. Nothing. I actually called out, "Is anyone there?" thinking that some guys were maybe hunting with his kid. I walked quickly back to my truck and got out of there. I was shaken up the whole drive home.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That's not unusual.
No, that's it. But this is the kind of stuff that I think this is out there and you don't need to make shit up.
No.
Because these guys, this stuff is happening.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's so many abandoned buildings and stuff around.
Yeah. So this one, which really disturbed me because it reminds me of another story I've heard, which I'll mention after.
Right.
I've never told this story to someone I know because no one ever believes stories like this. But here goes. Me and my buddy were out hunting in northern Minnesota, some of the most remote areas a guy can find, when we stumbled across an old abandoned cabin. Not unoccupied, but, like, abandoned. Nobody has seen this place in 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
We sit down in the grass in front of the house and take a break after the long walk. We start lobbing rocks at the house trying to hit the last piece of glass in the window, when all of a sudden this guy walks in front of the window and turns to stare right at us, and then turns back forward and walks past the window again.
Oh, man.
I'm mad enough to admit I nearly started crying. We picked up our shotguns and we ran for 15 minutes to the point that we were gushing blood from running straight through thickets and brush.
Oh, wow.
We stopped and tried to figure out what we just saw, but both of us were just babbling incoherently. To this day, we still talk about it, but neither of us knows what we saw.
Wow. Yeah, mental note, don't hook rocks in abandoned homes.
No, that's crazy.
Because as far as the person inside is concerned, they live there.
That's it?
Yeah.
The impression I got is that this is the kind of place where no one could be living.
No.
So that's alarming all on its own.
Yeah, yeah.
And the reason that reminds me of is a story from my book.
What's that called?
Don't you know?
No.
It's called A Strange Little Place.
Oh,
and
thank you for telling me.
Available.
Where can I get it?
Everywhere. Fine books are sold.
Oh, my God.
Does a body good.
Please stop.
Results may vary.
Just go.
But there's a story in there from a guy who was a total skeptic, but they lived in a haunted house, and he happened to be in the bath one day. No one else was around.
Yeah.
And he saw someone walk past the door.
Mm-hmm.
And they had their fists balled. They looked like they were angry.
Yeah.
And he called out, and there was no one in the house. Mm-hmm. And he was never the same.
That's super common, where people see someone walk past the door.
Oh, really?
Or walk through a room. Big time.
Interesting.
It's people who don't believe who are the most terrified of this stuff.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, there's that old, I think it's in The Uninvited, that old classic haunted house movie. They say that basically, if you don't open the door a little bit, that when these things happen, it blows your doors right off the hinges.
Right.
And
yeah.
That's very
makes
true.
Sense. Yeah, that makes sense. I had an experience one time, a friend of mine, this is when I was with the church, and he was setting up basically kind of a retreat center.
Right.
And it was in Elkhorn, Manitoba.
Okay.
And it was a town of about maybe 500 people.
Oh, wow.
And he had been given by the town the old hospital. And it had been a hospital for a long time, and then it had been turned into like a senior center. So he and his family lived in the one quarter of the basement, and then upstairs were all the hospital rooms where they were like the guest rooms. So when I went to visit him, they'd just gotten the place. They had done no decorating. The beds were hospital beds.
Oh, man.
It was very much still exactly what it had been designed to be. And I was staying upstairs by myself.
Oh, God.
And I did not sleep well.
No kidding.
I constantly felt as if there was quite a few people up there.
Really?
I would shut my door tight, and I would climb into the bed, and I would, you know, turn the light out, and I wouldn't move out of that bed for the whole night. But almost every single morning, that door was open again.
Oh, geez.
And they were hospital doors. You could close them. They were big, wide, heavy doors. But no, this place, it was just not right. And it never really did work because people just weren't comfortable there.
No, that's it.
They just left everything there. Old files, all the old equipment.
That's so weird to me.
Everything was just left. The plastic chairs that they put in old people's homes, they're covered in vinyl, right?
Yep.
Those were all there. Everything was there. Man. So, yeah, I have a little bit of experience with that. And I was there for like 3 days.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And you didn't sleep very much.
No.
Holy smokes.
And when I would say goodnight to them and then go back upstairs by myself in the dark.
I'd be sleeping on the couch, dude.
Yeah, at the time I wasn't, I mean, I was aware of stuff, but I didn't really want to acknowledge it.
Right, because as you work in the church,
right.
And I mean, this kind of stuff is
right.
Not well spoken of.
No,
not well thought of.
I didn't really want to be like, hey, say your place is hella haunted.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were there for about 3 or 4 years and they had to give it up eventually.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it was a weird place though.
Oh, man. Well, it reminds me of that hospital Luke was telling us about.
Yes.
Where he shot the movie.
Yes.
Kind of the same idea.
Yeah.
On that note, we have a ton of stuff
we have to do part two.
Definitely. We'll be right back with some listener mail. Welcome back. Over the break, Ian and I were chatting, and as we sit here in the studio, we have attracted some attention.
Oh, yeah.
It seems.
Oh, yeah.
It's become a lot, the air is a lot heavier than it was when we started.
And we turned on all the lights.
We have. Yeah, we've actually turned on all the lights because we are children at heart.
Yes, we are.
But, it seems like stories of creepy things in the woods are popular with...
whatever's in this building.
Yes, yeah, indeed.
Comes and goes.
Yikes. All right. Big thanks to our researcher, Luke Greensmith, for his help putting that together. We couldn't have done it without him. Yeah.
And Hannah for bringing it up in the first
Absolutely,
place.
Absolutely, yeah. And Hannah. And everyone else who wrote in. I think we're going to do another installment. I really enjoyed that.
Oh, so whether or not people want it, you're just going to do it?
Well,
Screw them. It's our show.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know. I figure if someone writes in and says, no, this stinks, throw yourself off a boat. I think if that's the case, then we won't. But I would like to do another installment because I'm fascinated by... A, by the woods, because I'm a coward,
yeah.
And B, by these stories. Because, again, we didn't get halfway through.
All right.
Tons of stories.
We got to do it.
Got to do it.
I mean, it's coming up to camping season, so.
Oh, great.
We really have to do
everyone.
It.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Don't turn your back to the woods, kid.
No. Don't go there at all. I was telling you about this. I meant to bring it up on the last show, and I forgot. There were two, I guess you could almost say, precognitive dreams I had on my trip. So
yeah.
The first and least interesting one, I think, was when we stayed on the Queen Mary. I dreamed that, and I had a ton of World War II dreams, which
right.
I guess makes sense because it was a troop ship. I was dreaming about scenes from the movie Fury, which, if you haven't seen it, it's actually pretty good. It's about tank warfare in the Second World War. But there's a character named Norman, and in the dream, I kept hearing Brad Pitt's character shouting out, Norman, Norman.
Hmm.
Well, the next day at the Haunted Museum in Vegas...
With your new best friend, Zach Baggins.
Yes. Yeah, we're BFFs now. One of the things there is called Norman.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it's apparently very powerful.
There you go.
And the other thing was, when we were still in Kelowna getting ready to fly down to Vegas, I dreamed about seeing the movie Amityville, I think it's Amityville The Awakening, the crappy new one they made. That
just saw it.
What's that?
I just saw it.
Really?
Seriously.
The one with
2 weeks ago, Bella Thorne.
Yeah, really, you saw
it. And the kid from Shameless.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just saw it. We watched it.
How was it?
It's pretty terrible.
Yeah, I figured it would be.
But it was kind of a fun... Watch.
Fun terrible?
But, yeah, it was fun
okay.
terrible. But it's funny you say it, because when you said that, I'm like, oh my God, I just saw that movie. And you know I never see movies.
No, I know. I'm genuinely shocked.
So 2 weeks ago. So maybe even around the same time you're having your dream.
Wow. So, okay, so, well, in this dream.
We're psychically linked.
Oh, it's a terrifying thought.
That is terrifying.
Ugh. So in the dream, I'm watching this movie with friends. Like
right.
A bunch of friends were getting together to watch this movie.
Right.
And Bella Thorne is there.
Yeah.
She's, and for some reason, she's there watching it with us. And
right.
She's being very, you know, very gracious. And
yeah.
Well, 4 days later, I'm in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And I went to go see The Death of Stalin at Arclight on Hollywood Boulevard, or on Sunset Boulevard. And I get there, a premiere is getting out, and it's Winter Sun, or Midnight Sun, whatever the f*** it's called, the new movie, with Bella Thorne.
Wow. So you actually saw Bella Thorne in real life.
She was From Me to You Away.
Wow.
I was just, and which is funny, I'm elbowing my way through people because I need to go get to my damn movie.
Yeah.
And there's all these fancy dressed folks, you know, looking all smarmy. And I'm just throwing elbows, you know, trying to get through. And boom, yeah, there she's right there.
Wow.
So it could be a total coincidence.
That's cool, though.
But, I mean, I still haven't seen Amityville. I got it for free on Google Play.
Yeah, that's why we watched it.
Yeah. Is it still free on there?
Yeah.
Oh, of course. Yeah. But, yeah, it was just bizarre. Just a hell of a coincidence. Yeah.
Weird. So we were all sharing that weird coincidence all at the same time.
You, me, and Bella Thorne. Oh, no. No, 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 no. Damn. It's not going to leave my head. It's not going to leave my head. Anyways, we're going to move right on to some listener mail.
Yep.
Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural elimination needs.
We're ready to believe you.
So first up was some messages from Melanie, who was suggesting to us some ways we could maybe have merch for people in Victoria.
Yeah.
And Melanie, we absolutely appreciate the suggestions. But I think the issue is just right now we're not really in a position to invest anything in merch up front, which is why we use the print-on-demand guys.
Yeah.
But we are hoping to find a better solution for our Canadian listeners because we know it is prohibitively expensive to order things from the U.S. store.
Yeah.
And
there
are really no print-on-demand stores in Canada the way, like, there's no Threadless or Teespring for Canada.
Vistaprint?
Vistaprint, we can order stuff from there, but we can't set up a storefront.
Oh, gosh, no.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Places where we sort of have an independent storefront. So, yeah, no, Melanie, we hear you, and we're trying to figure something out, but we're in...
Lean times.
Yeah. So we will be, as soon as it's no longer lean times, we will be there.
Yep.
I had a couple messages from Peter, and he wanted to know if there is anywhere in Victoria known for shadow people.
Oh, okay.
And I said we'd answer that on air rather than in a private message just because it's kind of an interesting question. The only place I know of off the top of my head is the Edelweiss Lodge.
Yes, I've heard a lot about that place.
I've heard there's a lot of activity there because, of course, that's part of that larger area, which is very unpleasant, I find very unpleasant.
I do too, yeah.
Any places you know of?
Not really. The one that popped to mind was the forest around Royal Roads.
Right, of course.
I could definitely see that being there. But, yeah, public places, probably... Yeah, Edelweiss.
Because apparently he had his own experience.
Oh.
He said he was asking because he apparently saw a few black flashes pass his car the other night.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he said he was driving on the Souk Road from West Shore passing towards Fort Rod Hill in the Hatley Castle area.
I could see that.
So,
and the Souk Road, there's a number of stories about the Souk Road.
Really?
Yeah, especially on rainy nights. The whole kind of phantom passenger thing or seeing a hitchhiker beside the road that isn't there.
Really?
That's the Souk Road for sure.
I almost never, because I drive a lot at night, I almost never go out to Souk at night.
No, there's a good reason for that.
Yeah, no kidding.
And East Souk is really weird. I find it really weird.
It's fascinating to say that. I think we may have talked about this on an early show, but years ago, someone took me there hiking.
Right.
And it's really beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, they've got all the rock formations and stuff.
Yeah, no, it's gorgeous.
But
East
I actually went back out there by myself.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
No, but, I mean, you know what I'm like.
Yeah.
I never go hiking.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I was drawn back out there.
I'm drawn there to that park, too. I love that trail.
So there must be something out there.
There is.
Because if it's drawing both of us out there, who are not given to these kinds of excursions.
Foolish natural pursuits.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. There was a farm there. That's where they got the land for the park.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was originally a farm. But I don't know much more about it. It might be good to do some research on that.
Yeah, no kidding.
Hmm.
The other place he said was today, driving by Ross Bay Cemetery, a small black floating thing went into his truck door and hood. Yeah, and he said there is no mark for a bird and there's no noise.
Weird.
Yeah, which actually just jarred loose something else that happened on my trip.
Oh, okay.
I forgot to tell you about this. I was driving with my mom. We were coming back from the west rim of the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I swerved, and my mom said, what's going on? I had seen two black shapes on the road in front of me that looked like small animals.
Wow.
But then they weren't there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy.
They were maybe the size of coyotes.
Yeah.
But they were there and then they weren't there.
Maybe it's the same kind of thing.
Yeah, could be. They just kind of evaporated.
Cool.
It was the strangest thing.
Hmm.
We had a message from Wendy who said she was disappointed that I didn't have to meet Zach Bagans. And Wendy, I can say that makes one of us. I am not sad I missed out on that opportunity. God all mighty. She also wished me a happy birthday, and thank you very much. Nice. And actually, we had a bunch. You put up a lovely message that I felt very awkward about on the Facebook page.
Well, you did that great video for me, so I felt like I needed to do something back.
Shame you with emotion. Well,
yeah.
It worked.
Yeah.
But I had a lot of people wish me happy birthday. And thank you all so much. That was really cool.
Even if you were sick for your birthday.
I was sick for my birthday.
That so sucks.
Yeah. I mean, I was sick for the first half. I slept for a long time, and then Nikki took me for chicken wings.
Aww.
So it was all good.
Well, you only turned 45 points.
Or twice in my case, but that's fine. That's fine. We also had a message from Samuel, who was just following up on his previous message where he described Ian as an elderly black man.
Yes, that was nice.
So thank you, Samuel. We also had a quick tweet from the Peculiar Mayhem podcast, and she was joking that she's always touched by my love and respect for old Zach Baggins. So responding to a tweet that Shannon had sent out in which she popped our show, so that was pretty cool.
That was awesome.
She also said, I was joking that literally on my first day of being 35, we were out for breakfast, and the waitress likened me and Nikki to her parents.
Oh,
she's
out.
She's 22 at the youngest. She's 13 years younger than me. I could be her older friggin' brother. That's and she's talking to me like I'm two steps away from the grave.
I know.
So I put up a joke about it, and Teresa from Peculiar Mayhem, she tweeted back. She said, a cute guy gave me the senior citizens discount at a restaurant the other day. I could almost be your mom, Brennan. Sob.
I have been given the senior's discount at
really?
45, yeah.
Oh, that's brutal.
Yeah, I was in a restaurant with two guys who were older than me. They were older. They're in their 50s. And we each go up and we pay. And then they're like, hey, how come yours was cheaper? And I'm like, I don't know. And I look at the receipt. And the woman gave me the senior's discount. Not them.
Oh.
Yeah, that hurt.
I mean, I guess it's a discount.
That hurt. I know, but I'm torn between being cheap and my ego. It's painful.
Being cheap should always win. Always.
I agree.
And funny enough, actually, Catherine, who also listens, sent a tweet. And she said that I might win the most awkward moment at a theme park award. A cashier at Disneyland asked her husband if they needed an adult and a child ticket because she thought she was 13 or younger.
Oh.
She was in her mid-20s.
Ouch. Her poor husband.
Oh, I know. I mean, wow. I said I would have taken the discount.
Yeah.
And she said no because Paul, her husband, didn't want people thinking he was kissing a teenager. Which is fair. That's fair.
Definitely fair.
But, man, that's rough.
That's pretty brutal.
And finally, we had an email from Maureen. Which was a lot of fun. She said, there are a lot of woo-woo podcasts out there, but I find after a while they become either too slick and way overproduced, or they take themselves too seriously. And she said, that's not us.
No, we are not slick.
No. I am a blunt force instrument. I don't know. It would be pretty hard to take ourselves seriously at this point.
I don't know how that can happen.
No.
I really don't.
Paul, who listens, he posted that someone had tried to sort of, as seems to happen, you get these turf wars in paranormal communities.
Yes.
Someone had targeted him for whatever reason. And Paul's always been really decent. You know, I mean, we haven't had much interaction, but he seems like a cool guy.
Yeah.
And I said, tell you, man, the secret is just having no character to assassinate. Like, you tweet and joke enough about boobs in public,
people
they
don't
got
take
nothing
you
to use against you.
Yeah, it's true. It's kind of a double-edged sword, right?
Yeah, that's it. I can't get a job now, but also, no one can assail my character because there's none left.
There is no character to assail. That is true. Yeah. No, that's a good point. I like that.
She also shared some stories, which when we finally get to a listener stories episode, we're definitely going to share. So thank you so much, Maureen.
Yeah.
And Ian, we'll get back to you.
Oh, yes, sir. Right away, sir.
Well, I ask so much of
as
you.
The official secretary of the Ghost Story guys.
I'm glad you understand. All right. Well, that's going to do it. Thanks, as always, for listening.
Yeah.
Big thanks to our researcher, Luke Greensmith. Couldn't do it without you.
Nope.
And I forgot to thank him last episode, and I forgot to thank Peter from Pazanta Music for our intro. I know I'm a monster.
You are a monster.
Yeah. Well, in fairness, fuck you. So thank you, Peter, for intro and outro and the bumper music.
Yes.
Both this episode and last.
Nice.
And you can find him online at soundcloud.com/Pazanta Music. Don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever else podcasts live. And share our stuff on Facebook.
Please.
You know, Ian put up that post about the vampire thing, and it was the single most popular thing we've ever done on social media. It was funny, but it wasn't that funny.
Well, no, I am funnier than you, so that's probably what it was.
And you got a book signing coming up, but it'll be over by the time this comes out.
Totally done.
But you've got another one coming up in the fall.
In October.
We've got the Sydney.
It's a while.
Yeah.
And Ghost Walks.
We've got the Sydney markets coming up. So
Sydney markets will be fun.
We'll talk about that as it comes closer.
Yeah.
You can find us on social media. We do have a Ghost Story Guys Twitter, but we don't use it. So if you want to get a hold of us, you can either find us on Facebook at The Ghost Story Guys or on Instagram and Twitter. Just get a hold of me at Largely The Truth.
Or just good old-fashioned Gmail, ghoststoryguys@gmail.com.
If you have a story you want to share or some feedback, we really love hearing from you guys. Yep. It's just nice knowing there's people out there who enjoy what we do.
Absolutely.
I also do a radio show, Largely The Truth, every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Pacific on Stoke FM. It's just a music show, your weekly trip through the soundtrack of my mind. And that's at, again, 8 p.m. Pacific, 92.5 Stoke FM, and if you're in the Revelstoke area, and via the web at stokefm.com. You can buy my book, A Strange Little Place, everywhere fine books are sold. Buy the ebook edition. It's cheap, and I make more money.
Yeah, well, Victoria's Most Haunted, same kind of deal.
Absolutely.
Anywhere fine books are sold, well, kind of. More online than...
Yeah. Copies are dwindling, actually, though, because you're going into the second printing.
It's pretty amazing.
So you've almost missed out on your opportunity. I think Amazon.ca has 10 copies left.
Right.
And Amazon.com has 7. So that's going into second printing. That's very exciting.
Yeah.
My book's better, but that's okay.
Hey, that's okay. My book's more popular, and if I had to choose...
Yeah, that's fair.
Sorry.
Bastard. Deletes Ian's half of the audio.
I'm Ian. You're great, Brennan. My book stinks.
I would love to hear you do an episode with just you. That would be fun to hear, where you pretend to be me.
Oh, God. No, that's... That's way too much like the 6 years I spent working for the consulting company. Just sitting alone in a room for 6 years.
Yeah.
No. I'm getting flashbacks already.
We better move on.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right. Well, we'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode. And until then, back into the darkness we go. Yeah, and if you have a story you want to share, if you have something you want to hear on air, just, that doesn't make sense, my radio show. My f***ing magician?
Apparently not.
Let's check my business cards. Oh, they don't say f***ing Merlin. Jesus.
Well, they should.
I'll kill you.
I hope you recorded that.
I did. Good, yeah. I want everyone to know.
Yeah, well, you can do the trial later.
I'm going to go to f***ing prison taking credit for this. I'm like ISIS.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.